rejoicing night and day as I walk the pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see, and the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all of this, that the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down at His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I am rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. He is with me everywhere, and He knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird and just as free, for the Spirit has control. Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. There's no thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up, and instantly all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. Then I fell down to His feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. He abides, He abides, hallelujah, He abides with me. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk the narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Praise the Lord.
Appreciate you. Appreciate your support. Stand with us in all the ways you do. Now I want to read our scripture reading tonight in the book of Psalms, and I will be reading in Psalm 69. And I believe that I will start with verse 18. There's just a few verses here. There's a couple of the verses that I want to speak on somewhat. But I'll just read an extra verse or two here because they're in line with what we are thinking about. Now, this one scripture that I'm going to read tonight, and I'll say this while you're turning, that caused this scripture to stand out in a more vivid way than some of the other scriptures. And this one particular scripture, which is actually verse 20, I'm going to read other scriptures. But the reason it stands out so vividly to me, I came in from work one evening, and it was already dark when I got in work. I was getting in work each evening in the wintertime. The days shortened. It got dark before I got here. But this was back before Joyce made the crossing. And she would sometime in the evening while I wait after she gets supper cooked, maybe just wait, and she'd take that time, that some precious moments that she had there to read in the Word of God. And many times she wouldn't have any certain place, just open the Bible and begin to read, and other times she would. But she was reading in this particular psalm one evening, and all of a sudden, as she got to a certain scripture, and if you have heard me tell this before, bear with me in being repetitious here, if you will, please. But she was reading it, and as she was, there was just a light came in out the window there, and it just came right across the Word. And she, for a second, thought it was me pulling up on the outside, and it was the car light. But she looked, and it was just a light there hovering. Then it just moved away. And she began to cry, which is a normal reaction. It seemed like the Lord just humbles and does that. But she said, now what scripture was I reading when that took place? And it was verse 20. Amen. And, of course, it wasn't too long at that time till the Lord called her across the river. And thank God He's so good to us when He calls us across the river. Before she went across the river, and that's passing away, going on to be with the Lord, she had a dream. And that was, she was walking down this little trail, beautiful trail. Everything, the trees and all, was so beautiful. And she saw three men as she come to a little dip there. And there was a hill before her with the green grass, rolling hills, and just beautiful. And she looked, and there stood three men. And one of them was Brother Branham. She's never saw Brother Branham while he was alive, and neither did I. But Brother Brown just reached out and took her by the hand. Says, come on, Joyce, and go with me. And they turned all three and began to walk up the hill. But before she got up to the top to look over the knoll, she came out of it. Amen. And that sometime I think about that song. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. There'll be somebody waiting to show me the way. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Amen. I've been reading in the book, The Prophet Visits South Africa, about Brother F.F. Bosworth that worked with Brother Brown and prayed for the sick, and he was a great soldier. Oh, I feel so insufficient after reading after those great men. I feel so small and unworthy to be represented in the group of those that are part of this end time Word of God. But Brother Brown heard he was real bad, passing away, so he hopped the plane and flew down to Florida to be by his side. And as he was passing away, he was shaking hands, reaching out, bless your heart, John and Judas, and well, maybe not just the names, you know, of those that he'd known and had gone on. They were just shaking hands and greeting the saints of old. Amen. And those that have been with him in this battle for wrong and right and bringing this message, he was shaking hands with them. Hallelujah. As his soul slipped out and went to be with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. I'm telling you, there's something great in store for us, isn't it? Praise God. Someone asked me, do angels carry you away to the bosom of the Lord? Well, at first I had to think just a moment And I said, it's a real good possibility. Because here's why. Lazarus died. And the angels carried him to the bosom of Abraham. Amen. So I tell you, when this last breath goes out of this old body, I don't think there's going to be that scary, dark hole out there somewhere that we scream and holler and back away from it. But I think it's a door to eternal life. Hallelujah, that we can embrace with the praise of God on our lips as we go from this stage of our journey into the next. Praise God. So I thank God that it's that way. That the Christian, Paul said, those that were in fear all their life of death, says he's delivered us. Hallelujah. Oh, death, where's your victory? Oh, grave. Oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? There's life on the other side of the river. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So God bless each one of you tonight. And now we'll go ahead and read our scripture. And David, this is David speaking in his distress and so on, but I'm going to show you how it just applies to the Lord here. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Thou hast known my reproaches and my shame and my dishonor. And my adversaries are all before me. In other words, Lord, here I am. What you see is what you get. You know that I haven't always made all the decisions right. And some of my foolish decisions really got me in trouble. But here I am, Lord. This is what I've got. I want you to help me. All my enemies are around. And then here's the scripture. And it falls right back on the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary when the shepherd was smitten and all men forsook him. It says, reproaches has broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. Amen. He went there alone. He tasted the bitter cup, didn't he? Amen. David had gotten in the place where he felt just like this, what he was writing. But God, in His infinite wisdom, was letting David speak and write things that would become part of the Word of God, and it would fall in there, and it would last for eternity. Amen. And God, let us know that sometimes we do stand alone. Amen. We do look for comforters, and we have to find that source. Amen. And that source is not each other all the time, because it is when we come together like this, and I just praise God for the good fellowship, the blessing. But sometimes we got to draw on that source when there ain't nobody else around. Amen. How many knows it? When it's just you and the Lord, and you've got to look up to Him and say, Lord, here I am. And I like David's honesty, and I'll be quite frank with you. I'm not quite as honest as David was in my confessions and all the things of that nature. You know, David, he freely said, Lord, you see, I've really goofed up, Lord. And you know all about it. I've messed up bad. You know. And like that, and he was, but God saw a broken and contrite heart will He not despise. Amen. That was the type of Christ too, as Christ in His humility, how He went to the cross, and notice every disciple He had ran and went away. And there was not a one that would say, I'm with you. Peter did. Peter said, Lord, I'll go with you to prison. I'll go with you to death. I'll go with you wherever. And Jesus just looked at him and said, Peter, before the cock crows three times, said, you'll deny me. Oh, no, Lord. I know you're right all the time, but this time you're wrong. I'll be right there. Amen. But see, it takes the Lord, doesn't it? It takes God. And see, God had a plan, and that plan worked. It was going to work, and it was His will God's will for him to drink that bitter cup alone. Hallelujah. And sometimes in our own life, it's typed out in similarities that sometimes we just have to stand before the Lord alone. Amen. And sometimes decisions we make, it just has to be ours alone. Amen. Like Christ there, and like David. David, he just had to come up and just stand there and, Lord, whatever judgment you give me. One time he numbered the children of Israel. And God gave him so many, three different choices, I believe, of which kind of judgment. Would you like to fall in the hand of man? Would you like this? He said, I want to fall into the hand of the Lord. He said, don't let me, one thing he said, don't let me fall into the hand of man. Because we judge many times after appearance, see? Amen. But here, David, a man of God, wrote that word, and everything he was writing, it fell right back. Amen. Christ, as we read the next two verses, you'll see how Christ, how it fell. It says, they gave me also vinegar for my meat. And in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. Gave me gall for my meat and vinegar to drink. Now, see, they didn't really. Now, this had, see, it went from David now. He's prophecy, he's writing. But it became a prophecy of what would happen to Christ. And that would be a few thousand years on down the road, probably. Amen. At least many hundreds of years down the road. But our God foresaw you before the foundation of the world. This thing that started working in you, it's working in you, and it's working just right, see. And here's where sometimes we think it may not be working right with us. But it is, because he that begun a good work in you will perform it unto the end. Hallelujah. And you say, Brother Howard, do you get discouraged? Do you feel that way sometimes and like that? Well, I think that question is probably an unnecessary question because we all come through those periods of time, don't we? How many knows it? When we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but by faith we keep on walking, knowing that God said it, and God started us on the journey, and He'll stand with us all the way. Hallelujah. And then, going on down, David prays a prayer here, and it falls back on the whole world today. His prayer says, let their tables become a snare before them, and that which should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Now, that's what I want to look at. That which should have been for their deliverance, that which should have been the what would deliver, it has been a trap. It has become a trap. Amen. As we look at the Gentile world today, we see it first happened in Israel. Amen. God sent deliverance in the person of Jesus Christ. He sent the king to him, and the king came riding in on the foal of a coat there, the little donkey, we would say. Amen. He sent deliverance, but it became a trap to them. Amen. It became something. First place, it was too simple. There was no bands playing ahead of him. There was no large white stallion that he was riding on. And there was no golden chariot that he could ride in. But instead, there's a humble little fellow on the little donkey riding there. And the people around him, they were just common people. All the dignitaries was absent. Amen. But here come God's deliverance. He's sending it. Amen. Something that would deliver Israel. Make them the greatest nation on earth again, like it was in the days of Solomon. Here comes their deliverance. The king that was prophesied all the way through. He was coming to Israel. Amen. But that which should have been for their deliverance has become a trap. And that's what I'm going to entitle this tonight. That which should have been for your deliverance. And when I say yours, I'm not just speaking locally. I'm talking about this age. Amen. In the last, say the last 50 years or so, God sent something that should have been for our deliverance. It should have been something to set the church's heart on fire. It should have been something, amen, to turn this nation and make it what it used to be called a Christian nation. With the Pentecostal fire burning all over and the hearts set on fire, but it become a trap. First place, it was too humble. Amen. It didn't cater to the dignitary. And God used the man to bring this great plan of salvation to this age and time we're living in. He didn't use a theologian. He didn't use an educated man. He didn't use a man that was wise in the things of the world. But He used a man that was born back in the hills of Kentucky and humble birth. His father was a drunkard, and they lived on just a little meager food. He worked in a logger's camp, his father, and they had hardly any food when he was growing up. Didn't have clothes to go to school. He would take a... One time he got... Someone gave him a... I'm talking about Brother Brown. Amen. Christ Himself revealing Himself again. He sent deliverance to it. He sent the greatest thing that's happened since the days that Jesus Christ walked around here on the sandy shores of Galilee. Hallelujah. And as he came, he went around and around the world. God blessed and sent a revival. And as long as they had the fish and loaves, they rallied around them. They went to the race course there, I believe in Durban, South Africa, and it would hold about 50,000 people, and they had to close the gate because they couldn't hold all the people. God moving, sending a great, great revival, and long it was in the realm of the healing, they rushed to Him from all parts of the world. Amen, a little humble man. But the only thing basically he was doing at that time was praying for the sick. And the other brethren was speaking and calling people out, just like Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ made no attempt to do much preaching. Fact is, the Bible says He didn't even talk to the people except in parables. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. But that was a follow-up. This thing that Jesus started wasn't to die when He died. It was just the beginning. Hallelujah, this deliverance that God sent to our generation didn't die when Brother Brown died. That's just the beginning. Amen. Praise God, we're in a new day, a new time, and here God is still sending deliverance to us. And it don't come like people want. It become a trap to some because of the simplicity of it, because it likes the trappings that denominational churches has. Glory to God, but there's a people, as it was in the days of Jesus. He preached 3.5 years the Word of God, and there were so many in the group, multitudes. Amen. And one time he down the sandy shores of Galilee, the crowd got so large and pressing against him, he had to get in a little boat here to get out just a bit from the shore in order for them not to crush him. Amen. Preaching the Word of God. Amen. He multiplied the fish and the loaves as we got last evening. Amen. But He spoke to them in parables. Only the disciples, when they would come and say, "Lord, what do You mean by this parable?" They followed Him in the house. There's a group, hallelujah, that spiritually following Him in the house and say, "How about this and how about that?" That's more inquisitive of what the Word of God means. Hallelujah. They're not just wanting to see a big flowery thing. God has sent deliverance to us, and He did there to Israel. He sent the greatest deliverance, what the world has waited for all the time, and it become a trap. The religious leader says, "He's a Beelzebub. He's of the devil." And when the Pilate, because of his wife having a dream, his heathen wife there while he was on trial, sent him a note, says, "Have nothing to do with this just man, because I've suffered many things in a dream because of him." And Pilate knew well that he wasn't guilty. of anything to be locked up or anything of that nature. So he says, I've got a plan and I'm sure it'll work. I've got a fellow here named Barabbas, and he's guilty of insurrection and all kind of crimes against the state. And said, it's our custom to release somebody, so I'm going to put him up against Jesus. And it'll be an easy decision to make, because they'll say, release Jesus and hold Barabbas. Don't put Barabbas, that great criminal, on the street again. But those religious leaders influenced the people and says, release unto us Barabbas. And Pilate said, what can we do with this Jesus which is called the Christ? And with one voice and one accord, they cried out, let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Let him be crucified. Pilate said, why? What evil has he done? And they continued to cry that he could not prevail against them. So he sent and got a pan of water to wash his hands. And said, let it be known that I'm not guilty of this innocent man's blood. But he had the power to let him go or to condemn him. He was the king. He was the ruler there. But because of pressure, he yielded to the pressure and had Jesus crucified. And it said by historian, the different ones says different things about that. He went out and they found him somewhere. He went insane and committed suicide. And the different writers indicate different things. But the thing is, the deliverance that God sent to them, it became a trap. It trapped them in. And those Jews, in order to encourage Pilate to let him go, he said, this man's blood not going to be on my hand. I'm going to wash my hand. They cried with one voice, let his blood be upon us and our children. Oh, my God. And it has been upon them all ever since. Amen. When you read about what happened over in Germany there and different places where read and see the Holocaust, where 6 million of them was killed, burnt, and gassed in gas chambers because there was deliverance sent to them. There was all that they could ever need, ever want, and ever ask for riding into Jerusalem on the back of a little donkey. Amen. Jesus is all we need. How many knows it? Amen. Here come deliverance. Glory to God. So He comes back again in this last day. Revelation chapter 10 shows him coming back. Amen. He brings a little book. He's bringing all that we'll need. He's bringing deliverance. He's bringing something for the world. Amen. He's bringing something for the church. Amen. The whole world could have part of it. Amen. But because of denominations that takes you away from the Word. John saw it in the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation. And he saw such a marvelous, beautiful sight when he saw the woman riding on this beast, all decked up. What a beautiful sight. And God said, let me turn the coin over and let you see what's on the other side. He saw a hideous sight. A woman drunken on the blood of the saints. A cup with an abomination of her fornication. And the voice said, in her is found all the blood of all the saints. Amen. And God is still walking down among us in this day and this hour that we're living in. Amen. He's bringing the very, very, very thing that we need. We don't need more. We don't need something else. And we don't need some secret formula. And we don't need some hierarchy or some great church system. Amen. What we need is just say, Jesus, what are you doing in the hour we're in? Because He's still here. He's still riding. He's still moving. He's still bringing this deliverance. And that which should have delivered has become a trap. Brother Brown came, bringing this word. And it was so great and so marvelous and so wonderful. And God moved with a man like He haven't moved with anyone since Jesus Christ walked on the sandy shores of Galilee. And the people rallied around Him. But they could see only the fish and loaves. They could see only the natural. They could see only the flesh. Amen. And then when God took him off the scene in 1965, there was a message. Amen. And that says, go on with God. The church age book says you have to get a revelation every day. Say, they stopped and said, it's all finished. There's no more. That which should have delivered them became a trap. Praise God. But do you see that which should have become, that which should have been, that which was for their welfare? God's given us something for our welfare. See, take heed lest we be as those that believe not. Let's keep pushing this thing on. Say, amen. God's called me up to the plate. Says, now it's your time to take the bat in your hand. Amen. And if time goes on, then I'll go by the way of all men, see. But let's don't worry about tomorrow, next week, or next month, or what's going to happen to Brother Ben, or what ain't going to happen to Brother Ben. Amen. The world don't depend on whether Brother Ben shout and preach or not. Glory to God. There's a message, and it's His message. Amen. Is that right? Amen. So this is, you're getting some first round of the message here. Amen. Because we bring this thing where Paul, he was that apostle to the Gentiles. He went to the Gentiles. He said, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to do this. Those that rallied to him got first round word. But now look what the church age got and did with it. Oh, it became a mess, didn't it? That's second or third church age there, they had a woman Jezebel there, and she was, they were actually committing fornication, all those things which typed out what was going on in the spirit in the church age. But then there was that messenger, Irenaeus. Glory to God, stood right there. And then there's Martin. And then in that very long dark age, there was a man named Columba. That has A at the end of it, if you look it up instead of O. Amen. Right there in that dark age, to hold that little light. Say, come on, children, let's go with God. And that was just before the break of the day began to break in Martin Luther's age. Praise God. Amen. And we look at all that. But notice, that's when the light came in. Reproaches have broken my heart. I looked for some to take pity, but there was none. For comforters, but I found none. Have you ever been in a place like that? Jesus was. Amen. Look for comforters. Look, and Martin Luther, Brother Brannan, Raymond Jackson, they said that he's a blackbird. Well, don't worry about it. The blackbirds can fly. They'll get the job done. But that was those second rounders of Brother Brown's message said that. That was those that, in the first rounders, now let me say, I started on this one, I noticed the tape. The first rounders, they had fish and loaves from the five barley loaves and the two fish, fresh and hot, ready to eat. But once everybody was filled, the children and all, they ate to capacity. And they no doubt dropped it on the ground, and maybe the children had a cold or nose running, wiping their nose and dropping the fish around. Well, he said, Jesus said, go by. Don't get every bit of that. Just lay, put it in baskets. Let nothing be wasted. But I'm telling you, God, Jesus went on. Glory to God. And there's another round of the moving of God when they run. And some people eating remnants. What do they call that? Remnants. Yeah, that's it. Remnants. Amen. Take up the remnants that nothing be wasted. See, eagle kills that rabbit or that animal. Amen. He don't pick up. He just leaves some remnants. Watch those buzzards. Woo! And even crows now, they'll fly right in and see if they can get them some of it. Nothing's wasted. But give me that first round, that eagle. Amen. He'll eat nothing but fresh meat. Praise God. So we've seen in our day God send us something. A little book, the mighty angel come down. Now the mighty angel is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit form. Coming back to the earth, back to the church, and He's right here today, tonight, to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or think. Amen. I remember in the tent meeting over the ways here. I'd been going for 3 weeks. I'd fasted most of that 3 weeks I was running that meeting. I used to do that. That's one of the things since I had my heart attack, trying to build up some, get back it. I miss my fasting. I miss my fasting, where I pull away for a week and not eat, just meditate on the Lord, or for 21 days. The last scope was 40 days and nights, and I think I'm just, the old body's getting a little bit old for a whole of that, and a whole lot of that now, but I miss it. I miss that communion, that closeness, that prayer, that just nobody there but me and the Lord say, hallelujah, glory to God. I miss that. But Christ come back to earth, the mighty angel. He brings a little book. And everything we need, He brings back. Amen. And then through seven angels came down in 1963. Even Life magazine carried the story of the pet face of the Lord in the sky. What is this mysterious cloud so high no moist can get up? It's God. It's God thundering forth, sounding forth with a message. Wake up! Wake up, America! In 1957, it says, this year America will accept the word or reject it. And we don't have to debate on what they did. Amen. But I'll tell you, God just moved on with His little people. That which should have delivered us, made us that Christian nation, set us on fire. Hallelujah. God shook this nation out and back. Amen. Then He sent the prophet with the word. Amen. What do we do? A brother had a vision that there was a white horse, man on a white horse riding through, and said he spoke with a voice of authority. And said his voice just shook the earth. Say, so he looked over and there was some scientists mixing stuff, pouring it in the tube. They stopped and looked up, went right back pouring their stuff through the tube. Amen, amen, amen. But the herds of people was called out. Did it have its effect? Yes. We could look at Jesus Christ and say He was a terrible failure. No, He wasn't either. That's why we're here. We could look at St. Peter there when he was crucified, and it said by his story come that he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like the Lord. Turn me upside down. What a failure. No, it wasn't. That which should have been for the deliverance of Israel became a trap to them. We look at Paul, that Nero's chop block, thrown in prison over there. What a terrible end to a promising ministry. What a failure. What a shame. No, it wasn't. It's because of Him we're here. We look at Brother Brown, and that's the last few years. It began to go, knock the clouds and all, wasn't there? They say he was a prophet, but he was off the Word. What a shame. He got away from the Word and quit praying for the people. No, it wasn't a failure. 2 years ago, Brother Jackson preached on Sunday night. We saw him on the internet. Was God took him home. What was that? Was that Thursday? Saturday. Took him on Saturday. I guess he preached Sunday night. Another brother preached Wednesday night. And Saturday, God took him on home. Oh, what a shame. It looked like a promising work. It looked like things was going to the man. It looked like he was going to be able to do something for God. What a shame. What a waste. No. That which should have been for their deliverance. Amen. It became a trap, see, as they came out. Now God's shaking this world one more time with a message. The trumpet's blowing. Hallelujah. That same Christ, that same little book, and I'm going to close my Bible so I won't read anymore and start preaching again. That same little book, in it contained all that we'll ever need. It's Christ telling John, take the little book, Revelation chapter 10. Take it and eat it. It'll make your belly bitter, it says. It tastes in your mouth sweet as honey, but it is what you need. Amen. He sent that which it calls you further out of denominational religion. Amen. That you may have that union with Christ, that oneness with Christ, that personal intimacy with Christ, where it's just you and Him. Hallelujah. Brother and sister, God is thundering forth right tonight, bringing this and say, let's keep on going. And so I can say, Faith Assembly, let's saddle up our horses and keep on going. We're not there yet. God's revealing more Word. Followers of the message, come on, let's go. Let's get our shoulder to the wheel. There's a voice of the turtle dove in the land. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother and sister, I want to tell you I appreciate you. Appreciate your stand for the Word. But I must say, let's don't, when God sends something, shake it right, wave that sheave offering right before us. Amen. Shake this Word right before us. Amen. Let's don't do like they. It's too simple. Brother Gerald Cleveland, sit right here. And you can hear it on the tape called Bishops, Elders, and Deacons. He repeats it there. Brother Bill Andrews preaching here one night, and Brother Lee Garland sitting about where Brother Bill is sitting here. And Sister Shirley is sitting about where Jeanette's sitting. And he walked up here and he got right in here. And a light, a pillar of fire, just come right in. And it was testified by two people. And he stood up and his head was right in it. He said, yay, I've raised this place up. You hear it, it's repeated. Yay, I've raised this place up. I've ordained it. And my people shall come and find the answer. Amen. Everybody thought, glory to God. Maybe God is going to do something. Hallelujah. I believe that was of God. Yeah. Amen. Let's we got something to shout about. But as time drug on a little bit, he said, though the vision tarry, wait for it. Some gave up too quick. Amen. Some gave up before the fruitation. See, God gives a word and he try. Remember my message there in Boat, West Virginia, wasn't it? That's where we were at last. Amen. Where I said Jesus there in the temple teaching, and he was confounding those doctors and lawyers, and he was answering their questions, asking them. They said, my, wow, what a child. Where did he get this? I mean, he was just, he knew that he was called of God. Because when Mary and Joseph come looking for him, said, you've worried us. Well, why have you caused us this concern? You worried us. He said, didn't you know I must be about my Father's business? 12 years old. The Word went forth. And Mary knew it from birth. But there he announced, yes, I've got to be about my Father's business. I've got a Father's work. He went home and he started working at as a carpenter for 18 long years. Then at 30 years old, he went down the river and saw John. John, God just give John a vision. When you see a certain man come, this sign over and said, that's him baptized. And he baptized him in the river of Jordan, and the Holy Spirit came down as a dove upon him. And a voice spoke from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Immediately he went into the wilderness and fasted 40 days and nights and defeated the devil on every turn. And come out, he went in the temple and got the book and says, the anointing of God's upon me. He sent me to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to open the prison to them that's bound. He has anointed me. And he went forth and set the world on fire, we would say. Amen. But look, he waited. Can you imagine all those years of waiting? I'm waiting. Lord, you said that I was Son of God. Lord, you said I had a word. Here I am building these houses. Here I am listening to these people grumble about them, that cabinet door that they think's not completely straight. Lord, how long do I have to roof these buildings and all out here in this hot sun? I'm getting old. If you want me to preach, I got to get going. No, he waited. And that anointing struck him. It didn't take him about 3 years. Hallelujah. That which should have been for their deliverance became a trap to them. Now, in this hour that we're living in, that which can be for our deliverance can also become a trap to us. Here it is. Christ Jesus once again thundering right out saying, let's take another step. And don't look back. Don't condemn Brother Branham. Don't condemn Brother Jackson. They're great souls, great soldiers. And if God lets you bow before them, then you're a lucky person. Amen. If He lets you, I don't know if we'll shine shoes there or not, but I'll say, I don't get around mine, shine mine much, but I say, Brother Jackson, can I shine your shoe? Oh, hallelujah. I like that song. Will you let me carry your shoe? God bless you. Service in the morning at 10 o'clock. Amen. I tell you, isn't this good? Isn't there a lot of goodies in here? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I love you. I appreciate you. And look to the Lord in everything. Believe Him for healing. And I was going to tell you about before the tape kicked off there. And I'll get ready for the closing here. All right. Because I want Brother Sid to come sing. Well, if he can sing that, let me carry your shoes. If you will. All right. I want to say this. I was praying for a little child over at the... it was a city not far from here. In a tent meeting. I'd been going for 3 weeks fasting and praying. And I'm stopped off on the story and didn't get it all told. And if I've told you... Billy, come use your muscles here, please. Amen. I was there, and here come I prayed for the people, prayer line. Those days it was endless prayer line. And I was getting home 3 o'clock in the morning sometime, working the next day, and I was so tired. So I dismissed the service. And the people, the boys, letting the curtain down on the tent. And here come a lady up with a little girl, about 4 or 5 year old, just kind of like she's about scared to death. And I don't mean this to be of a belittling nature, but you could tell by the way she and the little girl was dressed that they were from a poor family. And like that, and he said, she came up, I was sitting on the platform waiting for the boys to finish up with her, getting the curtain down so I could go home because it was after midnight. And I was absolutely give out. And she came up and said, sir, I've listened at you for 3 nights, I believe she said, and said, you said Jesus Christ can do anything. Do you mean that? I said, yes, ma'am, I do. He can do anything. Only believe. I said, how may I help you? She said, my little child here. Said, look into her eyes. And I looked, and her pupils was hardly distinguished. Jobor from the rest of her eyes. She says, the mother said she can tell if a light bulb's on or off. Said that's the extent she can see. Said, you think the Lord would be good to us tonight and help us? I took the little thing up my lap and I just kind of broke down. Compassion. And I don't think I even prayed. I said, sister, go your way. The Lord Jesus make your child whole. And it seemed like those words came out without me initiating them. And on the way home, the devil says, what if that don't happen? After you tell that poor lady that. And I said, well, devil, what if it do happen? You know, and went on home, come back the next night. They brought the little child on the platform, and she could see just perfectly. And now I went by and checked on her a few years back. This was in the probably late 50s, early 60s. And I said, the little girl we prayed for, how about her, you know? Oh, yes, the man said. Said, you know what? Said, she started to school and graduated and said, now she's married and got 2 children of her own and she's never had any more problems. Jesus is real. How many knows it? That same Jesus is here tonight to do the same thing for you. Amen. The same yesterday, today, and forever. that which He sendeth should be for our salvation, our deliverance, our welfare. And I believe with all my heart you took full advantage of it. So let's continue. God bless you. As Brother Sid come to sing.
Amen. You can stand if you like. Everybody but Ben, he needs a rest. It's been good. It's while a lot of people miss it, it's so simple that don't go over their head. It just kind of slides under. Yeah, everybody looking for something big, a big white stallion. Amen. All I have to offer is me, and I know I'm not much, Lord, for you to see. But such as I am, I hope you're understanding me. So, King of the Jews, may I carry your shoes and wash your feet. All I ever wanted was to be loved, but the way I went about it was never from above. But down deep in my heart, there's a good man who wants to be free. So, King of the Jews, may I carry your shoes and follow thee. All I have to offer is me, and I know I'm not much, Lord, for you to see. But such as I am, I hope you're understanding me. So, King of the Jews, may I carry your shoes and follow thee. So, King of the Jews, may I carry your shoes and wash your feet. Amen. It's been good tonight.